So can we now move on to the minutes of the 18th of October? We deal with the corrections now on page 1.
Take you through the specific grounds, but David, I think it's So incapacity is still a permanent or temporary condition that impairs the holder of public office or attaches to the person in the office, the person's ability to perform his or her work, and any legal impediment to employment. So a legal impediment to employment could be imprisonment, could be a person struck off a particular professional role, etc. Incompetence in relation to the holder of the public office includes a demonstrated and sustained lack of knowledge to carry out an ability or skill to perform that person's duties effectively and efficiently. Misconduct is intentional or gross negligent failure to meet the standard of behavior or conduct expected of a public holder of public office. The other definition is pretty basically staying the same situation. So that is our proposal. Thank you.
Chair, there was a request to define criminal assessment. In the sense of that, maybe the rules do give some of what the criminal assessment is, and the other do from now, because of the minimum necessary to define
the rule definition is that we define a term, the ordinary meaning will not be used in the text. The only time if you want to deviate from the ordinary meaning or the ordinary meaning was there. In this sense, the preliminary assessment from reading through the draft rules, an ordinary meaning will only apply. And so therefore, we thought there was no need to define it. So, it is an assessment that occurs before or in the preparation of a particular matter, and that's exactly what the preliminary assessment will be in this case. And that's what the definition says in the dictionary. And so there's nothing more that you could add legally to the definition of the change.
I feel that there was also a proposal that we define serious misconduct. We start with misconduct because serious misconduct applies to the president and not to this person. Service of this person is misconduct, intentional misconduct. Hence, we were changing the definition for misconduct and they did not provide one for serious misconduct.
Here are the definitions of presenters and also as a presenter I do as a friend to the leader of the society with the opponent. Anything else from that? Another moment? In the chat, I accept the lack of need to define preliminary assessment if the definition as it is in the dictionary is sufficient enough to be utilized even in a court of law as a process that was undertaken to discuss any other process which led to sanctioning or sentencing as clarified. But on the misconduct, I think it was the matter of putting it correctly or the matter of English. I wasn't saying define serious misconduct. I was simply saying the definition here, which was defining a serious misconduct, isn't it also applicable to when you define a misconduct? Well, my request was saying, please add the definition, not define serious misconduct. Because how this definition was given to us in terms of the serious misconduct, it seeks much more, it sounds much more proper than what we are given now. as we look at it, misconduct now means intentional or gross negligence, failure to meet the standard of behavior to conduct a certain or hold a public office. It doesn't say anything about being unlawful, dishonest, as it is in this particular misconduct, because elements of unlawfulness, dishonest, improper behavior, I think they have to be taken out and they have to shine in a definition in order to see for any other process to be started and to make it fit. I don't think I'm making sense.
Thanks very much. From our side, Deputy Chief, we're very happy, the Chairperson, we're very happy with the definition for that that has been talked about, and I'd like to thank the legal services for the work that's been done. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
I hear what the Honourable colleagues are saying. However, I think what is proposed here by the legal services, provincial legal services, misconduct is sufficient the way it is here. What we are now starting to exist in terms of what type of conduct, but it does and capture everything that might be deemed misconduct in the judge. So if you unpack it, then you must also take it each and every perceived misconduct that can happen or be conducted by him and then or on to the position.
The only point I want to make on the admissions, I think that legal services, there's progression, was from the last time we met. There's a lot of improvement on the situation, and I don't think we're going to tighten anything. Because if you do that, then you're running a risk of being too prescriptive. So I'm happy to come to support.
I don't think the police, I think the police should not pursue the response to the defendant's explain why we have the intention.
One last chief, one last moment, I'm Barbara, I'm from the legal services. When we look at defining anything, and I will take the example of if you look at a crime, you don't see all the variations of murder in what the element of murder is. And what we did in trying to define this concept, we looked at not only African standards, but US and UK standards. And all of them in the definitions highlight basically three issues. That an act, a rule, and a fault. But they don't give examples, they don't give examples of the policy, all of that. So if we look at the intentional or gross negligence, that always encapsulates anything that can fall within that unlawfulness realm there. And same with your deep standards, if you're going to deem a truck or anything like that, that then you're not meeting the standards that is expected of your office. And we're keeping in mind if we're working with more than one office in Chapter 9, standards and their responsibilities differ. So to keep it, it's quite flexible. And for that capability, if we start putting in precise examples, we may fall or trip over those examples in a stage where this would not apply to the AG, but it would apply to the study, it would apply to them. I hope that's correct.
I think your response, loved by
advance an argument on those basis
still within the space that the definitions here are providing without making them great.
Chair, I tend to agree with what John's just said. And I think what people have to understand is when we draft these rules, of course we draft these rules as the rules of the National Assembly, but they remain subservient to the constitution of our country. And also, what I appreciate about what legal services have done, and I know this to be the practice over the years that we've been amending these rules, is that we look at things like statutory interpretation. We look at existing rules in criminal law, civil law, jurisprudence, the whole legal precedent that we have. So we can't just isolate the rules of Parliament because we want a definition to have a certain moulding to fit Parliament. That's not how it works in the legal system. It works in the legal system that your constitution is the skeleton of which you operate, and then already acts that are in existence start forming the flesh. And this is part of the skin, if I could put it that way, of the law as we go along. So 100% we need to understand the definitions for ourselves. We must understand that we're not here to rewrite the dictionary. Mm-hmm. Certainly not here to rewrite statutory interpretation in South African law that already exists because of by virtue of natural justice.
Thank you so much, Honourable Member. Honourable Mentor, Roy, but let's leave that for the legal mind to argue in court. That will be we cannot define it more than the way the defined. So your argument, Honourable Mentor, I think it's necessary, very necessary, but let's leave that to the legal mind to take care of whatever. And I will be in my hand. Thank you so much. Mr. Sato, can we move on to the next one?
The next one is then what we refer to as Rule 129R, initiation. Here we were asked to refer to order of the public office. We initially wish to have specified public contractor, order general, and the other. But then we were forced to use this one, and then we think, okay, now. And then on C, was a view that we should add policy just by the opponent supporting the motion, and that's unreasonable and and then the criteria, there was no proposal in that there for the last meeting. The member will submit, and the speaker may consult if there is any issue to clarify with the motion. And then the return of the motion, the speaker immediately returns the motion and supporting the documentation to the panel, and the president be informed. And the next one deals with the panel itself, the establishment of the panel, that the speaker establishes the panel, conduct the inquiry. And there was a view that there were two views. In fact, one, the appointment of the judge be at the discretion of the speaker. And the other view was that it must be the judge, a judge should be included. So it's given both options for the honorable members to decide which one to proceed with. Except to say that in terms of the Section 89 rules, we will use name, may include the charge. And so that for the sake of consistency, it may be useful to speak with may, so that there's an option to include or not to include the charge. That indicates that the submission of the new president that the charge must not include. So we put both for your discussion. And of course, three will follow from one, and if may came, then if, and if must is accepted, then why is the charge appointed? On the chairpersonship, there was a view that perhaps the panel itself must appoint one of the appointed chair, and the other view that the speaker be the chair. Appoint the chair. The Section 89 rules indicate the speaker appoints the chair. And there are both options for this committee to decide which of the options. And then rule 129 acts functions as powers, must be independent and subject under the constitution and law of these rules. Must apply them impartially and without fear of any consequences. Must report within 30 days of the performance. Otherwise, it's unlike the last assessment. And the air consolation of the letter must be based on good conduct. Good conduct, incapacity, and incompetence. The next page, which is my document, is page 4. The panel may afford any member an opportunity to place a letter written in the conditions. So it's not clear, we will not confine it, or the meeting probably will not confine it to the member who will have sponsored the motion. Or any member who happens to be in the commission will place that motion before the meeting. And must without delay provide the holder with a presentation and provide the holder of the office with the opportunity to respond. Not called for an they must include support in the condition. There was a submission from Alpha, which was suggesting that the civil society be allowed to make submissions to the panel. The sense we're getting from this committee, that at this point that is that may not be the case, it must be the members who deal with this matter at the point of the panel. And that's the five things here. The report of the panel must include any recommendations, including reasons for such recommendations, as well as any minority view of any panelists. We just want to underline the recommendations here. Initially, we set findings. Another point was used. And now it's recommendations. And your business will explain why they were the purpose of recommendations. But we just need to be mindful of these two words as we proceed to the recommendations. Then the panel will proceed with this business with two panelists are present, including the chairperson. Initially said all two panelists present. Then the innovation was that why do you want to do that? Categorical about them being present all at the same time. And then point 129 that is important. Because we don't deal with what the account of the report of the panel. Our understanding is that the matter is that the view of one of the members is that the report must be disclosed. But then what happens when it gets to the House? There are two views, the House must consider it, and the other view that the House must note the report. Now, noting means you don't change anything, you will not change the report. Consider it means it must be put for decision in the House. So it can either be agreed or not agreed to by the House. So we put all for this meeting today to take a motion and then the motion to choose the correct. And then in the event, this option deals with really if the House has to decide the matter. Once the House notes or approves, the Speaker must inform the President of any action that should be mandated by the Constitution. Now, the sense is that if the panel says there is no basis for this inquiry, then the report and the letter stands back, does not go beyond at the point of being noted by the House. But maybe when we need to say there is no need for the inquiry, the House should still note that. So that the House is properly informed that the matter then 129AB deals with the composition of the committee. And there were initially two views. Our sense is that the point of convergence being that the committee will be proportional. That's how we understood the narrative of the composition in the committee. And if we are correct, that's what we want to see. And if we do not see properly, then we can always read. Then the function and power of the committee. That's pretty straightforward. No changes from the previous one. That the speaker will have effect the recommendations of the panel. It must consider the motion that the report of the panel is counted to proceed to establish the veracity of the chancellor's report to that point. Because remember that the funding is a term of democracy on the basis of it. That is why the Commission must definitely be to the actual charge for the candidates. Then, point two, the Committee must ensure that the Court of Constitutional Revolution has been able to experiment in the time frame. We're also qualified to the role of the leader, so that the lead officer will not participate in the early trial. Will just provide assistance to the host. Sure, it doesn't really the extent of what we can ask to work on. And then we can be interested.
Thank you, last one. It's time for our discussion as members of the committee. Notice also that we will not take a decision. We are not taking decisions as the committee. So if we are not in agreement on anything, we will be referred to the room committee for a decision. Let's take it step by step, as Mr. Castro presented. A member is allowed to speak on everything. Is there a take on what Mr. Castro presented on our steering committee?
Thanks very much, Chairperson, and thanks very much for the work that's been done by the team on this. I think that we've moved towards something which we can accept. Obviously, we're going to have the same discussion point as last time, but I don't think that there's anything left here that anyone's going to die in a ditch on. I think what we want to do is to get the rules done now so that we can start the process. So, I was of the view the last time that the panel should appoint their own chairs or announce themselves. But again, it's not do or die, so we can just decide this morning what they need to be. Quorum's fine. Mr. Janshi should know that I'm very adamant that we're going to stick to the fact that half must be members of the opposition. That's to ensure that we're there to keep an eye on them and his colleagues, and there's an equal balance of forces in the committee. I know that given the precedent of the past and the guide procedure sets up that, if in doubt, there's proportionality that's applied. So, I'm sure Mr. Jones is not going to be happy to agree to be, and then I'm happy with the insertion in not participating in the committee. So I think we're ready to go, and I think the sooner we get these done, the better it's going to be to fill the gap that was in it. So we're very comfortable with the transformation and the process that's been done. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable John. Honourable Nancy. Thank you, Chair. Let me I accept the explanation in terms of determining the way the recommendation, if that's going to be sufficient to use whatever context and the report that will be coming from the panel. I understand that we are not making decisions when we are still going to rules. And I want to check then, when we take this report to rules, is going to go with these choices here, or must we make a choice from here? Like the issue of maybe mark, and the issue of speaker or panel. And if we have to make, to clean it up from here, my suggestion will remain the same, especially where the judge is concerned in terms of the panel. Because remember, if we are looking at forces to implement Section 194, Section 194 is given in the Constitution, it doesn't have a procedure to implement it. So we are dealing with a procedure to implement it as Parliament. We then, by the way, do what we would call, we are regulating that law in order for it to be applicable. And then, whoever is sitting in the panel, without the expertise of the law, it can be very problematic. If you remember in the previous meeting, there was an argument that they can be all other expertise. However, if we are dealing with a matter of, let's just make an example, the Auditor General, we're dealing with accountants in the Auditor General. And then if the panel is made up of people that are crunching numbers, they only focus on how to crunch numbers. They don't focus on how to make the law that governs the numbers. And therefore, it's necessary to have an expertise and the judge in particular, because then they will make sound recommendations to say, in terms of law, this is how numbers are done in South Africa. You can come with your expertise of how you can put the money together, find all the numbers and get to the bottom of them, how they how the expenditure, how the appropriation, but the law that governs it and how can it stand in court, or how Parliament can utilize and apply it for efficiency. Only the judge can give that sound recommendation. So I still remain with the mask. But there should be a judge. We can have all other expertise, the other two people, but the other one should be that expert of law. And then under the chairperson appointment, Honorable Book Janji gave an example that was clear that the first thing those three will be doing will be fighting over and campaigning each other over who must be the chair. The speaker must just be given the right to appoint the chair because they will come with the lobbying. They will focus on lobbying for the whole week, 2 weeks. Or why absent themselves so that there's no corner. So that's why I think we must remove if the panel must not decide anything. Upon appointment, the speaker must then say, you are chairing. So that's my other suggestion. And then on finalization of the recommendations by the panel, if there are basis for anything to be done, I strongly submit that it should be referred to the House. Because the House is the one that sends an appointment of any Chapter 9 person to the President, who is not the Speaker. So if we are going to be removing, in fact initiating a process to remove a Chapter 9 incumbent, the House must deliberate on it, but not just vote it, must deliberate on it. Because they appointed that person as the House, not the Speaker. So I strongly recommend that it must come to the House. The recommendation must come to the House and the initiating of the process must be endorsed by the House. And if then there's no basis, I don't think it's necessary for the recommendation of no basis to do anything to come to the House, because the process for the Speaker to appoint is based on a motion that's written directly to the Speaker. That didn't come via the House. Therefore, the House to know what that went to the Speaker. I don't think there is a clear coordination of it. What will the House be responding to that didn't come to it? That's just my understanding of how Parliament rules went. The motion, if it didn't come through the House, to the Speaker, why would then the recommendation of no basis to initiate any process come back to the House? We are responding to that. And the House, I don't think the Speaker is taking you.
thing they can do is to write to whoever wrote the motion that these are the kind of times that they are moving. I don't know then what will be the remedy if then that's the case. And then lastly on the committee. Yeah, I agree that the committee should be on proportional the way it is, half the proposition and half the impact.
I think has come a lot of things that I think compassion and things are so common that you are. Two, that I'll try to go page by page, not to do that all I can get just done now. In terms of under the establishment 129B, right, we are saying that which then I'm asking upfront on our chair that we felt that slightly on our methods were that we agree that we put them in first line the financial group of 3 feet and 4 feet of African citizens, comma, which may then discontinue. Let me explain the rationale for that. Is that the panel after they've been afforded, if they deem necessary that they need a legal special in terms of trust to their accommodation to the speaker, based on none of existence and or existence of evidence, then they would do that. That might not understand, even if they want to be a member of Parliament. Most of us don't have legal results. But there are plans that we can still to provide that. Then if you drop your back to a specific individual, when you need the stability, you must be also bringing your trust. Because that's really the basis for laying the foundation for the rule. So I will agree with the notion that may improve the judge. Point three, Chair, under the same composition and appointment. In line with that point that I've just raised, then it says that then point three, if a judge is appointed, then it's optional within the spirit of being optional. I think we have agreed in terms of 129 that we give the chapter that the speaker appointed, will set it that. In line with what one of the judges is in last time, right? Coming to page 4, Chairperson, we agree that if I say I'm saying in terms of me contributing to the committee, that we agree that any other member other than the one that has written to the meeting, has written to the speaker, can also make submission if they give the necessary one. We cannot also say members of Parliament can't bring anything to the court. We act in terms of what we have to be submitted to the office of the speaker or to the speaker. I will move to point 1291, issue of quorum, that we support that two members, they shouldn't be lesser than two members that they proceed to the work. Man, he will be difficult to transfer. So if then they got to three of them to be there, it will make the work and the process and the finalization of the master plan being forced in a way. Chair, in terms of 1.9, that I'm sure Honorable Major here, she's fully aware that the speaker cannot necessarily just write to the president in terms of that because she would have presented the matter before or the issue or the complaint to the to the house, to the national assembly. And the national assembly then would have the same way chapter 9 and chapter 9 must get appointed. Parliament plays a more vital role in terms of property interviews and all that, in the same manner that it would take place here. That when the report then comes back from the panel, which would have submitted to the speaker will table the matter before Parliament vote. So which will say that there is a existence of evidence, a large existence of evidence. And then the committee then will note the report and be referred, if it is to be referred, will note, because if it you note the report, but if there is existence of evidence, then it will be referred back to the critical committee that needs to engage on the matter. So I thought I just need to explain that the noting is most appropriate to us for the House so that will allow them the processing thereof by the Parliamentary Committee that we will refer to. I will go back, Chair, and if I wouldn't say anything, I'm sure the other gentleman will still bring the gap. But the issue of also the appointment, which is 129AD, and appointment of the committee, and of course I agree and support what Honourable John has raised in terms of that it should be proportionality. Not to say what the Honourable Minister said, because he spoke from both sides of their mouth and that's why. But see, that is clear, because you can't change that the composition of parliamentary committee, because then which means our whole committee needs to be re-established, and that's the serious matter that we don't want to prevent again. In terms of for 129AD, the options that which I'm talking to when it became to check it out. I'll leave it for my colleague if I can take it in my
hand. Thank you,
just a few couple of questions to the chair. And maybe what I want to link up about this is probably our third meeting that is our colleague proposed. So you can't make this process in last week that you have. I sense from where we are we're not enough work for this to go to the rules committee. I would not support another subcommittee on rules meeting. Otherwise, you are determined for the rules committee. You play into that now. So the next meeting for us would be to do. I don't want to leave that, but I think it's important not to have that. The second point, Chairman, is in the area of principles. And there are three issues I want to raise under that. I want to connect with what Member Mazzola has raised, but from a different angle. The first principle, Chair, that I want to speak about is in relation to the issue of proportionality of constituting the committee. And I want to use this because we're making rules. You never want in the making of rules to declare any strength of a particular party and ideology. You can't use rules to declare, and I made examples. The Democratic Alliance has got 80 plus members in parliament. You can't make rules that nullify that strength and reduces to 44 members. That's an example I mentioned. BFF has got 44 plus, and you can't create rules that make them equal to Freedom Front plus. So if you agree on that principle that you can't do that because that area is circumcised. And if you open that door, a majority party can abuse the system. It could use its numbers to nullify any other party's strength. And as I hope, in the submission of the line, this is an issue that you emphatic on. To say, you know, to, well, that was was looking at all of that and I was like, I'm connecting with all of these. But then it came to this one in the chair of the panel, we were kind of opposed. And I want to bring that principle. That is what is guiding the issue here. So the rules, so I'm connecting with the rules cannot overturn a bigger principle that comes from the constitution, which is proportionality and all of that. The same might apply to the role of the speaker. You can't be creating these rules, reduce and take away what the role of the speaker is. And I'm raising here the issue of the which she has emphasized, appointment of the chair of the panel. And so because that is the prerogative of the speaker. We shouldn't be taking that out in creating rules. The third point, Chair, and the principle that I want to with it comes to the issue of, because what Honourable Management is raising, the must and the main issue that we must have a charge. Remember, we agreed on a panel, and it was well motivated why we needed a panel. Because this work could be done without the panel. Committees of Parliament could have done this, but there was a reason and a rationale which was so overwhelming to say you need a panel. That is going to, well, it must create the basis, the prima facie, because there is no partisan issues in it. That's the only reason we're creating that. But you can't have that panel having a deciding power over a national assembly, was that remember that remains our power. So once, and that relates to the issue of decisions of that panel as compared to recommendations. So the margin of it was it keeps that flexibility. So we are not to choose not outsourcing our own powers to an appointed individual. When you have got elected representatives that have a particular work to do. Again, the issue of the judge, Honourable Benjamin, well, at the end, you might get your dream of a judge, but it can't be so determined in the role that it must be a judge. Because the panel, it was raised before that the core part of it is leader. There's no issue about that. Therefore, when you bring in the issue of the judge as a prerogative, as a flexible thing, because you might decide that there is a good aspect who's in and sound, and at that point you might put in the judge. But you might be the judge instead of so on. So I don't know what that is with those few things. But again, the next point I want to make is around the issue of the notice. When the report comes to the assembly. Remember the panel would bring these recommendations. At that point, the recommendations might be saying there's a case, there's a prima facie evidence that section 194 for that committee must have a requirement on the fitness to hold office. So this is a test, it's a fitness to hold office. At that point, the National Assembly would not be debating. What will you be debating? There's nothing to debate at that point. But at no point will the National Assembly be overlooked in terms of its power. But when the Section 194 committee brings its own report, the debate in the National Assembly ensues. And so it's the one that takes the final decision on the report that is submitted to it. So it's not overlooked. So the noting is saying this is a process, this is work in progress. And this, because you can never engage in a debate on the prima facie anymore, it still needs to be tested. So there can't be a debate at that point. And there can't be a decision. Because what basis will National Assembly use as a basis for whatever decision when they've not gotten into the kind of debate? So I think I might explain this. We are finding each other. And maybe Chair, in our approach, we also need to be saying, well, I don't want a situation where the subcommittee of rules, we don't clean up our way. We go to rules committee, and you haven't been given, having had three meetings, you see that they are vague things. How do you want to be part of that one? So we're going to clean it up. We can't go with a male or mask. There's a consensus here. And if it is reported to the Rules Committee, we record that there was a minority view. And that felt very strong that it might be a charge. We report that. But in terms of how we formulate, because the discussion here is the one that is connecting on those kind of things. I think there's a number of reasons still in the saying we shouldn't be going to war on some of these issues. I think we'll deal with the bigger issues. What we should not be going towards are the incidentals. And the incidentals might not necessarily help us going forward. So I thought I must make those. And then just to check if there's nothing else I'm leaving. I'm in agreement with the kind of points that have been made. So I do submit that we must clean it up. And therefore say there's at least a good consensus on quite a number of issues going forward. Thank you very much.
Okay, I just want to say something interesting happened, a conversation with me and John just now. And I said to John, you know, I think a judge is a good idea. And John just made a very good point. He said, yes, of course a judge would be a good idea, but what if it's an incapacity that requires a medical expert to assist the committee? I haven't even thought of this. And that's why, I just raised it because it's so important that we consult on these things, but as you say, we take it back to the Rules Committee and we explain why we've decided on the word may instead of must. Because how many times we've sat in that Rules Committee when we did the rules before, and for 3 days we would debate may and must. And I mean, we actually can't do it. And so something as simple as me just talking to John, it makes so much sense. So may, and if that judge is appointed as bank consultation with the Chief Justice, so we covered there, but someone may be medically incapacitated, and then you don't need a judge, you need a doctor.
Yes, thank you, Honourable Member. I remember in one of our two meetings that discussion came up. We then said the relevant people with their relevant expertise will have to be appointed. I remember it very well. So, Honourable Members, I think listening to your presentation and discussion in this matter, we are not far away from each other. In most of the issues presented here, we are in agreement. We know that we are in agreement. And if someone will die because their views are not correct, there's always an option of saying we will take this to the Rules Committee with options. Then the Rules Committee will have to decide. But we know that Honorable Mende, you just want maybe to have a long meeting, but we are actually in agreement. But the non-transmission for us taking options to the Rules Committee will do that. We'll take options to the Rules Committee, you present your case in the Rules Committee as a year, then we take it from there. We are agreement. Where we don't agree with you on the community, so options will be taken to the Rules Committee.
Chair, it's not a matter of dragging the meeting. I think we need to also comprehend the process of creating a regulation or a rule that's going to go to court and fail. And we don't want to be part of a process that, if we had looked into it much deeper and considered the shortfalls that we are pointing out here. We could have corrected it from this year. I understand that if the speaker gets the recommendation, Honorable Judge, if it comes into the House, we notice who appointed the person now that was saying, we should be the one in end of seeing the process to say, look into this matter. It looks rather inappropriate for a person we appointed. We don't just notice as they go. We appointed Auditor General. Now, if a panel says this Auditor General, there's an irregularity here, go and investigate it. Now we are actually, it's actually us outsourcing our powers. We're saying the panel told us go and investigate. We should be engaged in a process. We at the House, members of Parliament, we are not going to be giving a decision of the day. We will be talking to the recommendation that indeed S section 194 is required at this level because there are these irregularities that are picked up and therefore we end up at problem. We wouldn't like a situation when the report comes from the section 194 to the House, we start saying, but why did you even do it? We're not part of this, why did you do it? When we notice there was an emotion, we don't declare on it, we don't talk to it, we just let it go. I don't think that's appropriate in terms of parliamentary duty.
Okay. I hear you, Honorable Member, and not to bring you, but I want us to discuss this further, Honorable Member. The issue of the recommendations of the panel. Submit that to the speaker, then the speaker brings it to the House. What do we do as members of parliament in the House? What if, Honorable Minister, let's say there is the recommendations are saying there is evidence based on this ground that we defined earlier, there's evidence. Then the House decides that maybe half the House or the House decides that no membership, then what will happen? Or the panel's recommendation says there's no evidence, there's no human factor evidence for establishing the 194 committee to deal with this matter, there's no evidence against whoever. So the House says, but no. See, now we are saying there's evidence. This must happen. If we can be able to answer that. Because the reason for putting the note is to allow a process if there is human factor evidence. And that person will be given an opportunity to make a representation, and that person will have his or her own legal representative. So I'm asking those questions. If we can respond to this, Honorable John.
Thanks, Chair. Look, I don't think that there's any way there can be usurpation of the role of the National Assembly. And I think we must be clear what that role is. That role is to vote on the removal of the office bearer in this particular instance. So I don't think that by having a panel that makes recommendations, you're necessarily usurping the role of the National Assembly. The panel can only make a recommendation, and I agree with Honourable Minister in the fact that I think that recommendation must come to the House for some deliberation. But also bear in mind we're missing out an important point. That because this is administrative action, it has to be reasonable and rational. And I would venture to say that if the panel makes a prima facie finding that there is a case to answer, and that the National Assembly votes that down using the tyranny of majority rather than acting in a reasonable and rational manner, that action then becomes subject, can be subject to review. and that right exists. We mustn't forget that. That, you know, that the panel comes and says there's been egregious misconduct. It's going to be very difficult for the National Assembly to say they've acted reasonably and rationally by voting down that report and refusing to allow the next stage to happen. I think we must just be mindful of that. But I do agree with the Honourable Minister that that report must come to the House for some sense of deliberation. So that the House can apply its mind to it. But the House must also then be very careful that what it doesn't do is prejudge the next stage of the process. And that's where the danger still lies in that. Because if the House, you know, compromises itself, then it may worry about it may compromise the position further down the line, but the House has to act reasonably and rationally. It cannot operate and act in an arbitrary way, because we live in a constitutional rules-based environment.
Then, Honourable Senator, Honourable Member. Now, if needs be, I think we must go back to one example when we initiated two inquiries. The one of FABC and the one of Mbani. They emanated from House decisions. They didn't come to Speaker, the opposition didn't write to Speaker to complain about Mbani. And then Speaker took it to the Chief Whip for the Chief Whip to write a motion, and then a committee was established. Even the decision of the House. That then we need an inquiry on this particular issue for further investigation. And let me then also put it like this. Let's just say we successfully, through this process, remove the Chapter 9 position. The argument to court is that my employer did not initiate it. How do we go back to? We are out of the question. We employed the person. When we suspect that the person then does not care about the duty, we should be the ones that are saying, hey, go and investigate this person. And we have now the prima facie evidence. I don't think Honorable Senator in the House can really outvote as far as prima facie evidence. I don't think it can happen. It really cannot happen. But we also don't want to create rules that have got a lot of holes when we are poked in, they have come.
Point taken. Judge?
Actually, I think it's an important discussion that it doesn't take our worry on the fact that we have to recommend the particular process. It's not about creating rules here. I was fascinated that in the US, the Trump impeachment, we switched on immediately because they had the system to think. This was happening. The issue is, you have got, I think wait before I get into that, the Speaker of Parliament has certain obligations and roles which the National Assembly has the power ahead in any case to do. So you have also committees of Parliament which are an extension of the House. But the important point is that at no point you go to leave the House or use its power in this process. The important point is that I think I connect with this. What is not necessarily applicable to the noting part. In essence, the noting part is the keeping the time to stopping the ball. That's what I'm getting with that very important. And she is raising that perhaps it needs to be something beyond noting. Even if it's not conclusive at that point, it might even, the House might have given the recommendations of the Parliament to say, as a house, we believe that there is really a case to that, and yet the community must deal with this issue. And that's a voice that we need. And I think that if I'm connecting with you. So the house is not silent on the matter. I think there is that gap. Don't keep it silent. It was noted by the brothers. You've not said anything. It was in that space as it could be empowered in the community. And I think all we need is to improve the way I think what put it was. There's something close after that. I can't see where that is now. But I don't see a place match here. Well, the last thing that you must avoid. You cannot do a swatch from the stand that you're saying. And I hear you keep saying, I'm not with John. You stand that you're saying. John is a name. It's to avoid what was the house, this issue of preempting, cannot preempt. Because, Honorable Manager, I agree with you, it will boggle my mind that the abuse of power, because you could have the house using its number, this party colluding with that party and preempting even the inquiry for fitness hall office. And at that point, just saying, we don't agree with this process, said this thing there. But if I stay with you, and I don't think that's a phrase to put forward, but I think that's what we need, to tighten that process. The speaker brings the final recognition of the House, and endorses or rejects, something like that, for that process. So it's more emphatic than noting. It's more emphatic than noting. But the House, in the rejection, only has a burden to prove. And the House would not have the mechanisms to prove the rejection of a report, because you need a process when you are about to go into the claim of rejecting. Because when it endorses to its own committee, it is asking for those kind of reasons. Because when it comes back finally, then the House applies its mind. So I'm agreeing with you. Let's find a phrase that is not just noting. I don't necessarily have an idea what that phrase would be that the House becomes emphatic on the issue.
Thanks, Honorable Minister, for bringing that to our attention in all chaptering institutions or institutions of the world are appointed by the House, so the House must have a say on what chaptering reports. So the NA table and the legal services will be assist us in getting the proper weight for the House, because the House must have a say on what to do with the. I think we have managed to find each other on this one, and also on the other matters as well. I don't think we are in this argument on other matters. So you made your point on this one and we fully agree with you. Then the other Bombay, we say Bombay. It is to show that we have done our work as the subcommittee. We are in agreement. We are in agreement, Honorable Member. Honorable then, Honorable Senator, we are in agreement on everything, because we are not coming back to the subcommittee. Definitely our report must be referred to the Rules Committee.
Now, Chair, I don't have anything that is in control of what you're saying. We put views together. I'm subjected to being defeated in some of the views. I'm subjected to win some of the views. However, we must talk to something that makes sense to all of us. And something that must make sense to the judge when we are being taken to court and taken to task about the removal of a person. And in section 181, 2, it's very clear who the chapter 9 are reporting to and who can act upon them. So I just want the situation in the previous parliament are not being successful. In the previous parliament, parliament said this money to prove this case in many times we will take it to court. And we cannot be part of that. And I don't want to be interviewed by media saying, but you were part of that group committee. Now you are defeated. What was your rationale in making something like this which just spent less on the space of court?
Honourable member, I want to take this opportunity to appreciate that I'm not guilty, to appreciate the spirit which we conducted our work in this end committee, in the subcommittee, and I just hope this spirit will move into other portfolio committees of parliament, that we're not fighting each other, we're just being reasonable in our approach on dealing with these matters before us. I appreciate that. Let me keep it there.
Okay.
For the sake of our country. Honorable Mr. Faso.
I must would recommend that we keep in consideration. When you consider, there are two things that you can do. You can reject, you can agree, you can note, or take forward, or you can refer back. So those are the options. So stick with consideration with the recommendation. Secondly, on the issue of the initiation, you just wanted to explain this matter. You can do two things with the motion. You can either bring the house in the house, and then submit the copy, or submit your motion to the notice. In writing. So there was still an option for them bringing out this motion in the and receiving notice for the motion in the U.S. procedure. And thirdly, the legal service will just they pointed out just one thing they need to clean up. Do you understand?
And it's just a conjunction listening between paragraphs number 1 and 3, which I think should be all on page 3, so that we can insert it there. Page 3, 129x, paragraph B, Romans 1, 2, and 3. The word after paragraph Romans 2 should be all, because we don't distinguish between those three. The and there at the end of Romans 3 distinguishes between A, B, and C. Yeah. 129, capital X, functions and powers of the panel.
Yes. Yeah,
it must be committed this kind of eating, but there is all eating common. Yeah, and then the and is created.
Yeah.
And then on page 4, 129, why the proposed rule of quorum. If the recommendation is that it should be two panels, one of which must be the chairperson, then we just recommend that we clean that up, because it is open to interpretation as written now that it could be three people, two panels including the chairperson could be three. So our suggestion is we just make it explicit that the panel may proceed with its business when the chairperson and one other panel is present. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yes, ma'am. This is the only public in action.
But then there's some new information. So the
or according to Mr. Tazo, if then the substantive motion is read by a member in the house, now we are saying there are two options. The member might read it in the house to write threats to the speaker. So if then the motion was read in the house, isn't it then correct when the report comes, whether it's there is prima facie or there is no prima facie evidence, given the fact that it was the motion of the house? Isn't there a need then for it to be reported there to the house? Rather than the first one which we recommended, that if then there is no prima facie, then the recommendation is left my intent of the speaker's office, and the speaker will write back to whoever wrote it there. If it came to the house of the motion, so I don't know.
I think the point I was making is that there's only one thing, say, one to make sub-rule one. Any member of that will make a decision of something in motion in terms of rule one, two, four, six. Now, the rule one, two, four, six, says when giving notice of a motion, a member must read it aloud and immediately thereafter deliver the chain a signed copy of the notice, which may not differ from the notice that is read out. Or deliver to the secretary a signed copy of the notice on any primary document that is placed on the file. So this is a standard. I'm not in this. So these notices will still follow the source. What the committee said would not be done with this. It's just writing a letter to the speaker and not doing it by going to the motion. So what we're doing now is we're just confining this to the motion. So during the time of notice of motion, this is what we're doing.
Provisions of roads,
I think there was no conclusion on that. Well, at the time, it was first of all, the Christian party. So maybe that's one of the issues that is there. The one issue that needed consideration was the issue of motives or unmotives or ambiguous. And we would like to say that there is no ambiguous on the part of the parties. And there is no need for the good component to be being a target. And that would be very important.
And I was just giving up.
Yeah, I agree with the Honourable Minister completely on the maintaining stuff. So I think that we can take those three items to the Rules Committee when we take this report. I think motions without notice needed for discussions with important witnesses. My caucus has been otherwise occupied for the last
So
I'd like an opportunity to take it back to them. But there's no reason why the other items where this continues to go to the Rules Committee.
We agree on the understanding and we were all busy with the BRR. So we haven't had enough time to hold our. So we are not going to talk to the committee program because we are not waiting for everyone before we go to the Rules Committee. We are not having any priority. We agree on this. So you want us to make sure that we see the report that will be taken to the
Yeah.
So Mr. Hani will have to translate the report to all of us. Then honorable members and minister and the NDA table. Thank you very much. And the link and gentleman sisters there. And that one behind the honorable minister. Thank you very much for having such important meeting. Thank you very much.
I would like to meet
and pray that in future we will have meetings like
this.
Yeah, very encouraging. Thank you very much for meeting us again. We were leader of the opposition,
leader, deputy chief.
Someone is leaving their thing here, or is it a remote?
He's probably coming back. Thank you. Ek weet nie, maar die meeting is, het sal klaar ons wel. Ja. sure. Got it over there, and I was on my way not to see if you were like. Oh, okay, cool.
Thanks so much, yeah.
Sure, man. Cheers. I was like, hey, I'm gonna get you now along the way because you were so quick.
Yeah, sorry.